B-Pod Studios.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre. You're listening to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley. Mike, remember to talk less and claim more.
This week, Mike Riley returns from Vegas with not as much luck as Happy Corbin, I don't think. Sasha Banks and Naomi walk out of Raw. Stephanie McMahon has taken a partial leave of absence from WWE. All Elite Wrestling has a pay-per-view this coming Sunday. A lot to unpack, as our friend Conrad Thompson would say. And oh, by the way, Ric Flair is wrestling one last match. Mike Riley, let's start with Sasha Banks and Naomi. They walked out of WWE and Raw on Monday night. The short of the story is they didn't like the creative that was presented to them, and they went home. We'll give you more details of this as we go through the conversation. But, Mike, your initial thought of Sasha Banks and Naomi walking out of WWE and Raw?
Well, Jimmy, first word that came to my mind on this before reading up on anything was the word unprofessional. And it's 20 years ago where Stone Cold Steve Austin walked out on WWE. Of course, he was supposed to have that match with Brock Lesnar, the King of the Ring qualification match there. And that did not happen. He walked out. So that's the first thought that came to my mind 20 years later. And it's just like anything in life where, you know, you have a job, you're expected to do that. And if you don't agree with it, you can't just take your ball and go home. I mean, you can, but it's in the grand scheme of things, it's selfish, especially in a situation where you are a performer and people pay their hard-earned money to see you. And you know that with professional wrestlers, it's a very small window of people that have that capability to have that platform. Sasha Banks, Naomi are very fortunate to be where they are. Many people would kill to be in their position. And to walk away like that, I thought it was selfish and, quite frankly, unprofessional. If you have an issue with creative, do that behind the scenes. Do not do that to walk out on the night of a show when you're scheduled. And to read up on the press release, I know you'll read on that in a moment there, but it just seemed like the uncomfortable thing. They were uncomfortable being in the ring with other performers. That's what really stood out to me. Who were they uncomfortable with? Are they uncomfortable with the finish? It just so much not to be in the same ring with someone. They've all worked together. The six-pack challenge it was supposed to be with everyone. So I have a lot of questions on that there. Why the uncomfort level? It's a slap in the face of the fans in the grand scheme of things. Not a fan of it at all. Didn't like it.
So the uncomfortable person, Mike?
Yep.
Was Ronda Rousey.
Uh-huh.
This is what I believe, Mike. I believe Sasha Banks didn't want to work with Ronda Rousey.
Interesting. Okay.
And that is a part of the story that I have not seen out there.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding and my belief of the situation is Ronda Rousey is not a very popular person in WWE as far as with the people that she shares, quote unquote, a women's locker room with. There's a vibe that I'm of the understanding of that Ronda Rousey is just here for a cash grab and nobody wants to deal with that. Nobody wants to work with her. And I think that that's the part of the story that at least I have not seen out there.
Mm-hmm.
That also WWE doesn't want out there.
Oh,
because Ronda Rousey is the SmackDown Women's Champion. She's the one who Vince McMahon wants smiling at all possible instances.
Yep.
And so the person who Sasha Banks or Naomi is uncomfortable with is Ronda Rousey. I don't think it had anything to do with Nikki Cross, Doudrop, Becky Lynch.
Yeah, definitely.
Although
Becky.
I think Becky Lynch, this part is conspiracy theory.
Okay.
I think Becky really doesn't want to work with Ronda.
Yeah, I can. Okay, that's interesting you say that because I kind of have that thought in my head similar to that as well. Go ahead. Let me hear it though. Why?
Because I I think that that finish that we saw at WrestleMania, Ron didn't want to lose. And that's why it was such a pig orgy.
Yeah.
Again, that's just conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
I don't think Ronda wanted to lose to Charlotte at WrestleMania.
No, no way.
But I think Ronda's a UFC fighter, but Brock Lesnar took losses. Kurt Angle was an Olympic gold medalist and took losses.
Yep.
So you're, you being Ronda, you're not above taking a loss. Even whether it's done correctly or incorrectly, whatever, it's entertainment. It's pro wrestling. It's scripted.
Yep.
And yes, there should be a little bit more believability with you and Ken Shamrock and Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar. But at the end of the day, it's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And if the payday is the payday, that's what I think it is. But I think the uncomfortable person, I believe that Sasha Banks was uncomfortable with Ronda Rousey. I don't want to put Naomi in that category because I'm not sure about that, but that would line up. I think Naomi left because she was backing her partner.
Well, and there you go. I think she got kind of roped into that there with the Sasha situation. What is very interesting there with Naomi is that the success her husband is having right now. Now he's a unified tag team champion, part of the Usos, the Bloodline. So that really was a surprise to me. And, you know, another thing that went right off in my head on that was like, oh boy, the Usos could be punished here. But I don't know. They have so much power right now.
Mike, remember this time last year?
Yep.
The Usos win the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. Like 2 weeks later, one of them gets pegged for a DUI.
Right. They have never punished.
And the only punishment was Roman made a comment about one of them.
Yep. Yep.
That was it. No punishment. No nothing. Maybe they lost a non-title match, but they've been the champs for 200, 300 days, whatever the number is.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And now they have more gold. And people were legitimately upset about that finish. Like, what were you expecting? Like, the goal is to run up the score with Roman and the Usos so that when people do beat them, it means more. Yeah. The same with Brock Lesnar in the Rumble a few years ago, leading off the Rumble, and then McIntyre catches him at 14, 15, 16, somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that crowd went nuts, and Drew McIntyre is instantly made.
Yep, yep. But to your point there, though, the Usos, you're right, no particular damage done to them. July 6th, I'm looking at it right there, Jimmy's DUI. They've been the champions 308-plus days.
Yeah.
So really, yeah, that's nothing right there. But the Naomi factor there, following the lead of Sasha Banks in that situation there, we've seen this before with Sasha. It's a track record, I guess, just not happy. The contract, sounds like the contract is up in a couple of months for Sasha Banks.
Yes. Go ahead.
And Naomi as well, right?
So I don't know about Naomi.
Okay.
I believe Sasha Banks' contract is up August or September.
Yep.
And I believe that she's home for the summer.
And the other thing, okay, so she's home for the summer. That's interesting. Here she was last year, the SummerSlam situation. You had that great report on that, the Jay Stu phone again. But the whole other thing here with Sasha Banks, I want to, you know, you got to put her top five female wrestlers. You have to.
So I would say right now, WWE would say it's Becky, Bianca.
Okay, right now this
Ronda,
Charlotte.
I think Sasha Banks is in the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean,
as far as like people knowing who she is, because that Mandalorian series, that was a big deal.
Huge deal.
That was a really big mainstream situation, and I think what came of it was this idea that Sasha Banks can now do movies and TV and be compensated well for it.
Yeah.
And I'm of the belief that WWE has been trying to re-sign her since about August or September, and they haven't done it. And my belief is that if they were to go to Sasha Banks tomorrow and say, here's a $1 million downside guarantee,
Yeah.
She'd sign it and she'd be paid $1 million downside for the next 3 years. That's my belief. And the creative, she wouldn't care about. But I think right now where there is creative frustration and she doesn't have a new contract because she's not being offered the money that she wants.
Yeah.
The creative is now an issue.
Right.
So until, like, if she was getting the creative that she wanted, there'd be no issues because then the forthcoming contract presumably would be happening. But if the stuff that's out there that this is something that I saw aggregated was a Dave Meltzer quote, was the plan for WrestleMania was Charlotte and Sasha Banks.
Yep. Okay.
And that is just so wrong and incorrect.
Right, right.
The only mention of Charlotte versus Sasha Banks was in passing on a Charlotte promo.
Yeah.
Where the idea was that Becky had announced that Ronda had chosen her for WrestleMania, which wasn't true.
Right.
Because I think I started talking about Charlotte and Ronda back in October.
I was going to say main event
for WrestleMania in Dallas.
I was going to say actually around Labor Day last year.
Okay.
So yeah, I remember you saying that shortly after SummerSlam, not too far after looking ahead. So yeah, you were onto something.
So under that premise that they're paying Ronda Rousey $5 million. And I don't know that that's the actual number.
Hmm.
Sasha Banks is worth at least $1 million.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, and just to put it in context, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens just signed new contracts.
Yep.
And I believe their downside guarantee is $3 million.
Wow. That's a great deal. Good for them.
Sasha Banks is in the conversation with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
And that's my point right there with Sasha getting all that money there. If she's to resign in that situation, but for the scenario of being in that upper echelon of superstars right there, walking out, this is a bigger deal than people actually think. Stone Cold Steve Austin walked out. He was at one point, the most important guy in pro wrestling. She's right there. Now that's the equivalent of Charlotte walking out. That's the equivalent of Ronda Rousey walking out, Bianca, Becky, any of those other four that you just mentioned there. This is totally unacceptable. And I don't think she'll ever wrestle again in WWE.
I think she will.
I think if Tony Khan were smart, I mean, not that he's not a smart guy, do whatever you can to get Sasha and rebuild your women's division with her.
I don't think if Sasha did go to AEW, it wouldn't be for a long-term deal.
In and out.
It would be like 3 months.
Maybe she doesn't even need it anymore.
But Mike, if the price tag on Sasha is $1 million downside, AEW is not paying that.
Yeah, she'll
go do movies.
So if she has to come back for WWE, if she is, you're not going to see her till at least the fall, at least.
At least as what I believe right now on May 22nd. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's done for the summer, like you said. I don't know. I have a hard time. She pulled a stunt like this before, as we know.
She won.
I know, which is really interesting because it's very hard to do that with Vince, as we know, except the DUI factor. We know. But curtain call, Austin, listen, those guys, they have
Mike, if there's money to be made,
I know,
Vince McMahon will make the right decision.
But you have all this other talent there. I mean, Sasha's great. Don't get me wrong. You can still get by without her. And we saw that. And they were able to get by without her for quite a while. So that's why the second time around here, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's why I'm very skeptical of her ever wrestling again in WWE.
So I guess my bigger question is, Mike, what's the better match? What's the more promotable match? Ronda Rousey versus Sasha Banks? Ronda Rousey not being on Hell in a Cell?
Yep.
Bianca Belair versus Naomi? Or Bianca Belair against Asuka? Because I would tell you that Naomi versus Belair is a great match.
Yeah, absolutely.
Put a little bit of a story behind it. And Sasha Banks versus Ronda, those are, you know, Sasha Banks' promo and her work. And we've already seen that match at the Rumble, and it was a good match. And Sasha was hurt for that match.
Yep.
So imagine a healthy Sasha Banks against Ronda. Mm-hmm. I think part of the creative was that they were both going to lose. Sasha and Naomi were going to lose.
Right.
And I would say, yeah, but you're going to make a ton of money doing it. And you're going to be in a more prominent role in women's singles title matches than in women's tag team matches.
It's also, I mean, listen, Hell in a Cell, that's a nice pay-per-view. It's not a WrestleMania. I think if Sasha knew she was going to lose to Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania, then I could see her be a little more PO'd. Because Ronda Rousey had her, you know, I know she's been in the main event of WrestleMania. Sasha Banks is not. She has not been in a WrestleMania main event to close out.
Night one. She closed out night one.
Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. She has not won a WrestleMania singles match. Excuse me. That's what I meant to say. Night one, the Bianca Belair. You're right. Yeah. But she has not won a WrestleMania match. And that is where I'd be pissed off. So for her to go in there to say that, well, you know what? I'm not going to beat Ronda Rousey this time. But if you're going to have me do the job here, I want to beat Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. That's what I would demand if I were Sasha Banks.
I think if they had given her, if WWE had given Sasha $1 million downside guaranteed a new contract, like on the spot, she'd take the loss to Ronda Rousey at Hell in a Cell in Chicago.
Yeah, and that's a good
cashier. Cash or creative, Mike. And in this case, the cash isn't on the table, so the creative's got to be.
Right.
And once the cash is on the table, we'll do business.
And the Naomi Belair situation there, too. Like, you look at that. Obviously, Bianca Belair, hands down, favorite to win. And yeah, she was going to win that match no matter what. Absolutely. But that's got some legs, both of those right there. I'm all for that. Naomi and Bianca Belair, give me that any day. That's a great feud right there.
It should be a great feud. It should be a great story. It should be a great match, and that Chicago crowd should eat it up.
Yep.
I don't know that I would have gone Naomi there. Would have gone Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair, Hell in a Cell.
Now that would be good.
I would have done that, and that would have been the match that closes your show. And that was a Justin Barrasso idea from last week.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Hell in a Cell, I think Cody and Seth Rollins is the only match that's scheduled to be a Hell in a Cell at the moment.
Yeah, it's still 2 weeks out.
But all that stuff doesn't, like, WWE sells on its brand. Hey, we're WWE, we're coming to town, like,
right.
Buy tickets.
Right.
But back to Banks and Naomi.
Yeah.
I appreciate them caring about the cash or the creative or both. But it's very short-sighted on them from a business point of view, because if they don't finish their contracts or WWE finishes their contracts, they don't get lifetime royalty checks.
Right.
So in other words, because they walked out on WWE, they violated their contracts. They're in breach of their contracts. So they don't get money from WWE for the rest of their life. Like, Jim Ross still gets royalty checks from WWE. Chris Jericho still gets royalty checks from WWE. I think the most well-known person to get a royalty check from WWE is Jesse Ventura.
Oh, wow.
So WWE took down all of Banks and Naomi's merchandise money because they walked out.
Yep.
So there's a business element to it. So I hope at some point that they do come back so that they can finish their contracts on good terms.
Right.
I mean, we're not going to be holding bake sales for them in the future, but like we'd both like a lifetime paycheck.
Absolutely.
Especially from a company like WWE, which billions and billions of dollars globally comes through.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be okay unless they know something. And maybe this ties into the Stephanie McMahon tweet. But before we get there, Mike, do you have a final thought on the Banks Naomi situation?
You know, the other thing, too, that popped into my mind as well, initially seeing this, before I even finished reading the whole press release, was like, wow, this could be a shoot. It could be a shoot here with the situation. But then once they said that there was not a comfort level there for the in-ring performance. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? That really raised a red flag with me. And I think you're 100% right there with Ronda Rousey being the nucleus of the problem for a lot of people. And that's just how it is right there. But she has that much pull. It's a name. It's a brand. She's an international star. And I think there's going to be a lot of envious talent at Ronda Rousey, and rightfully so. I get it. You know, here she is, comes back after a year, and now she's a champion again. It's probably going to happen. It may happen again. If Sasha Banks and Naomi pulled this, who's to say this is not going to happen with someone else? The question is, will they be given a chance, whoever else it could be, or will they be kicked to the curb? That's the question.
I think the biggest detail that I found out in all this investigating was how much that women's locker room and that women's roster may despise Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not surprised. She's in it for the payday, and she doesn't want to do pro wrestling.
Yep.
Or sports entertainment, whatever. And I think that that's clear and that's obvious. But
does Ronda Rousey even do media stuff? I don't think she ever does.
She hasn't done any. She did the Wives of Pro Wrestling podcast with Mrs. Orton and Mrs. Kurt Angle.
Okay.
And that's hosted by John Alba. I did not listen to that episode, but I know she did it.
Okay.
She does a video stream.
I know she has a vlog.
A video game stream on her Facebook page.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
But that's about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you don't see her on the Today Show. You don't see her on anything. ESPN. I mean, ESPN would be perfect for her.
I think the promotion going into WrestleMania in New York, she may have done that. I think that was the same set that Charlotte Flair got upset because on the crawl on the bottom of the screen, it said Ric Flair's daughter.
Oh, jeez.
Which, I mean, some people get hot about certain things. Mm. I think that I don't think we've seen the last of Sasha or Naomi in WWE.
Mm.
I think that they'll be back at some point.
Yeah,
I wish I had more intel on the Naomi situation.
That's fascinating.
I think she's okay.
Oh yeah,
because she's part of the bloodline,
right?
And she's on good terms with the bloodline,
right?
As opposed to Nia Jax, who got into a fight with Roman Reigns over something, mm-hmm. and then when Nia Jax wanted more time off, they cut bait.
Yep,
because there's no reason to keep her around if the tribal chief won't acknowledge or appreciate her.
Right.
Right.
Yep. And they're in the same family.
Yeah. So
interesting. Well, we'll find out if Sasha returns and if Naomi does too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Stephanie McMahon went to Twitter and said, quote, "As of tomorrow, I'm taking a leave of absence with the majority of my responsibilities at WWE. WWE is a lifelong legacy for me, and I look forward to returning to the company that I love after taking this time to focus on my family," unquote. Mike, I saw the tweet. I think it was Joe Murray who sent it to us.
No, I sent it to both of you guys.
Or you sent it to us?
Yes.
Totally took me, didn't expect to see that. A little shocking.
Mm-hmm.
But what I always go back to is in the last few weeks was when I was in Dallas and talking to a few different people
mm-hmm.
who were in WWE, who are in WWE, and they were given notice that they'd be done in July. So unless that intel from 6 weeks ago or so has changed, I kind of think we're going to see more of this from people. And maybe Stephanie comes back in a different role. Maybe there's some issue that we just don't know about. But all I can do is interpret that tweet and use it with the information that I have. And that flags go up and say, is there a sale pending? And it's not just roster active wrestlers and active roster cuts. It's something else.
Right.
So for people, so somebody sent me a clip of Dave Meltzer saying that Stephanie McMahon really doesn't do anything and she's just a figurehead for the company.
Okay.
So she's a brand ambassador. She'll go and do, like, she did something for the Celtics a few years ago where she did a client meet and greet for the Boston Celtics.
Yep.
And I push back on that because, not because it's Dave, but it's just so wrong and irresponsible.
Yep.
She's not involved in creative as far as I know.
No.
But she is involved in a lot of other projects. And the one project I know she is involved in and was involved in was the video game stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have never guessed that Stephanie McMahon cared about the freaking video game. The freaking WWE 2K video game that, you know, it just hits different, right? It hits different.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed that she would have cared about it, but I know that she did because when I was in Dallas at WrestleMania, and this is going to become a recurring theme, like when I was at AEW in Chicago in 2019, like,
have a shot, get your shot ready.
I sat behind the guy who developed the video game, the head creative guy who developed the video game.
Mm-hmm.
And unprompted, he told me how hands-on Stephanie McMahon was with the project. Never would have guessed it. Came out of left field. But the point that he was making to me, totally unprompted, was Stephanie cares so much about the video game because it was so bad 2 years ago. And that's because she cares so much about the brand. She cares so much about the legacy of WWE. Like, that's in her blood, and she cares about those details like Vince did. And I'm not saying that Vince doesn't care about everything now, but he's spread so thin that he's got to have department managers, and he's got to be like, okay, this is important to me right now. And Stephanie McMahon was hands-on to a lot of that stuff. That, again, the video game, Stephanie McMahon cares about the video game. And she does because it's an extension to the younger generation of WWE fans. That's why she cares about it, in my opinion. So my point is that that's just one example of Stephanie caring about the brand. So it's got to be something big if she's stepping away from most of her duties. And it's just irresponsible of Dave to just be like, oh, well, she's just the figurehead and she just goes out there and says all the cliches. And I clicked it, and I knew I was going to be angry when I clicked it, but I clicked it anyway, and I listened to it, and it got me frustrated because it's just like, it, like, he has this great audience that has paid his bills for however many years. And that's just such an irresponsible comment because he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And he hasn't put in, and again, I don't think he's put in the work to actually do it. Like, he's just like, oh, this wrestler I have a good connection with has told me this. Well, as I've said in the past, like, there's a wrestler who's good friends with Dave who told me specifically that he'll give Dave one thing that's true and one thing that's a lie.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
And then it goes out there, whatever.
And then whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. That's good.
So, Mike, that's a little bit of a rant there.
No,
when you saw the Stephanie McMahon tweet, what did you think? What did you do? What was your reaction to it?
Yeah, no, I was surprised. And, you know, the other thing that came to my mind initially was Triple H, because of his health situation over the last, less than a year, I guess you could say, the cardiac event he had back in the fall. And Triple H, of course, went on ESPN just before WrestleMania this year, officially announcing his in-ring retirement. So I looked at it from that perspective there that, you know what, Stephanie McMahon, in the grand scheme of things, when you look at it, she's really worked for the company since she's been a kid.
Yep.
Starting as a model for the magazine and the shop zone there. And then, of course, working her way to on-screen talent.
Her first actual on-screen appearance was SummerSlam 1989.
Is that right?
She was part of the video package that opened up the show where it's all these summer shots.
Oh, okay. I think I've seen – okay.
So if you go to the cock and you load up SummerSlam 89 –
Yep.
Then, well, it's called the Peacock Network. Why is that funny?
Keep going.
I didn't name it. That's what the kids call it.
Communications@NBC.com.
Yes. Send your issues.
Send your hate mail there.
Send your hate email there. but she's part of that opening video. I think she's biting into a watermelon.
Oh, okay. All right.
But there's a whole bunch of office employees part of that.
Okay.
Part of that video, because that's the good old days where it was Vince McMahon, Pat Patterson, Bruce Pritchard all booking the territory around Vince's pool at his house.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's how they used to do it. So I just look at it from that there. She has been working at such a young age. Again, she's seen the whole evolution of WWE now to this global blockbuster it's turned into be. Been a part of that there. So maybe she just needs a little mental time off. I look at it where her husband had the health issue and could have been a lot thrown at her there, rightfully so, and just needs to step away to take some time for herself. That's where I saw that initially. From the business standpoint, very similar on your aspect of things with, oh, sale, here we go, probably going to happen. But again, you know, Vince McMahon is the guy in charge. And I think he's said in so many words that he is never going to retire. So Vince will always be there until he dies. The question is, though, like, what is next? And we covered that earlier this year with what could be next for WWE. Triple H may have another role in Amazon or Disney or whatever, potentially along those lines with talk. But Stephanie McMahon, to take some time away, there are questions right there with the health of Triple H remade. That was first thing. And then the sale as well. But I think the family, McMahon family, is so private. They'll do whatever they can to hold this one close to the vest. And they're not going to – I don't think this one will really sneak past the goalie. I think it's going to be a pretty private matter.
So I think Vince is actually deferring more. And I say that because I was told that the SmackDown before Backlash in Providence.
Oh, yeah.
Vince and Bruce were very hard to find during rehearsals. And rehearsals were very loose. And that this particular person who told me this wasn't sure that Vince was even in Gorilla for SmackDown.
That was the SmackDown before Backlash, you said?
Yes.
Interesting.
And that it was run by Daivari or Kidman.
Oh, Billy Kidman. Okay. Huh.
Who are head agents.
Hmm.
Which this particular person found unique.
Huh.
But Vince has missed a few shows this year because he had the passing of his mom and he had the passing of his brother.
Right.
So maybe it's Vince is still like working 20 of the 24 hours in the day, but he's kind of deferring a little bit more.
Right.
And then I go back to the July thing, which I can't get out of my head. Like a lot of these employees that I know were given notice that they might be done in July. Right. Now I haven't circled back since the beginning of April to any of this.
Right.
Maybe because it's too good a take to circle back for an update on.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know how it goes. You have a take, you have a piece of information, you don't want second guess.
So right. Gotta, Yeah. You let it play out.
Yeah, you let it marinate.
Marinate.
You reference the fact that it might be dated, but it might not be. So that's just kind of how I approach it there.
I like it. And it just the whole thing with Stephanie here, you know, hopefully she's okay. Hopefully she is.
Right. And that's the important thing, is we hope she's okay.
Yeah. And if she is to be open about something, if there is something, I don't want to speculate on anything that could or could not be true, but you know, she has to come with her comfort level on that. She'll have to do that on her own. So hopefully everything is okay. Hopefully everything is okay with Paul, at Triple H, of course. And,
Triple H supposedly is working full time in the office now.
Okay.
So that's kind of an interesting thing. I don't know what dynamic that is. And I think there was a press release or a report that Nick Khan is going to be taking on some of Stephanie's duties while she's and that's a lot. But yeah. Nick Khan is going to do what he can and defer what he can't, because Nick Khan's a good manager. I know the internet hates him. I know a lot of people hate him. I know Ric Flair hates him. And we'll talk more about Ric Flair and his upcoming last match in a few minutes. But, you know, Nick Khan has been good from a business sense for WWE.
Great.
And there are more bigger shows because of Nick Khan. There's more revenue coming in. And if your job description as the president of WWE or whatever his actual title is to get more money into the company and more money for the investors – I mean, Nick Khan's doing it.
Right.
Like, who I wouldn't have, like, Money in the Bank is a dome show now.
Well,
SummerSlam is a stadium show. The Rumble is a stadium show.
Yep.
They're doing an overseas pay-per-view, which is something that has been speculated upon for years now.
Two overseas pay-per-views.
The Saudi shows.
Yep. Which is a bigger deal. Elimination Chamber.
Yep, it's all
not,
that.
Not just there's two of them now, Crown Jewel, and then, of course, Elimination Chamber. And the fact that you actually have a little stipulation to it, they're invested. They're all in on that. So that's a big deal with Nick Khan, what he's been able to do in WWE. And by the way, Money in the Bank, I wanted to touch on this briefly. I mean, this could be a topic for another conversation, but winner gets a WrestleMania main event, Money in the Bank?
Sorry, what was that again?
Did you see the Cody promo for?
Oh, so I think that was Vince on that day was just like, we'll do it this way. There was some flub somewhere.
Okay. All right.
I don't think that they would have changed the rules on that, because like that's that briefcase and the unpredictability of that briefcase.
Yep.
Is just such an important programming tool.
Huge.
Like, you could have somebody come out later in the night and cash in. You could have somebody come out the next day and cash in. You could have somebody promote that they're going to cash in on a Friday and cash in on a Monday. Like, it's a great tool. Or like, what I think is going to happen is Drew McIntyre is going to win Money in the Bank. Mm-hmm. And Drew McIntyre is like, there's only one place I can cash this thing in on. And that's at the castle. That's in
September,
in front of my people. And I think he wins.
I mean, you know what? He deserves it. He deserves it.
I think he wins.
He did the empty stadium 2 years ago.
And
empty high school gym.
and I think he wins. I go based off of, as I've said, I think him and Roman have a great relationship. Paul Heyman is a huge advocate of Drew McIntyre, not only from how when Paul Heyman was the head of Raw Creative, he was booked, but in a comment he made to me this week on the podcast.
Yep. Go back to the archives, folks.
On and on and on about how much he loves Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
That to me is a signal that something big is happening for Drew McIntyre. And I love Drew McIntyre.
He's awesome.
And I hope he gets that moment to have, because he didn't get his moment of beating Brock in front of 60,000-80,000 people. It was in front of a bunch of cameramen in the Performance Center. And Drew McIntyre, I think, deserves better than that.
Jimmy's exclusive chat with Paul Heyman this week, available in the archives. Check it out. And yes, it was quoted internationally. Got some nice loving about Drew McIntyre being put over by Paul Heyman. And of course, that possibility to go up against Roman Reigns. So good stuff, Jimmy, on that. It is available in the archives here.
Yeah. Thank you to everybody who I told to do a write-up about it. Hey, I'm not shameless.
No, good. It works.
Know that it's out there. I don't have a PR team. I got to be like, hey, writer friend, can you write this up? And then put the link in there. Hey, writer friend. Hey, you know, can we push this out here? So
it's good.
You know, like I saw something with The Rock, with Paul Heyman's quote about The Rock.
Right.
So I just took the video and I just put it underneath.
Yep.
You know, and hopefully more people tune into the show, and
that's great.
Hopefully more people, you know, it gives me a little bit more. Is it street cred? Is that what the people say? Street cred?
Street cred. There you go. Street cred it up.
Because God knows my ego needs more.
We acknowledge you, James. We acknowledge you. You're acknowledged.
As Paul Heyman says, the tribal chief appreciates me.
That's great.
That's a real quote.
I love it.
All Elite Wrestling has a pay-per-view coming this Sunday. It's AEW Double or Nothing. That is available on Bleacher Report, traditional pay-per-view if you're international, and we have some international listeners, the Fight TV app, which I didn't realize this, Mike, and to our listeners out there, if you want something cool, if you have one of those VPN gimmicks where they can do your VPN from a different country, you can get AEW's pay-per-view for $20 on the Fight TV app.
Ooh, nice little nugget there. Okay.
All of us who don't have that little VPN international gimmick, we're stuck paying $50 for it.
Yeah, I know.
And then we got to pay for the Forbidden Door pay-per-view the next month. And
30 days later.
Some of us may or may not be going to Chicago Labor Day weekend for another
AEW
pay-per-view.
Interesting.
We'll see how that goes.
That's a great city.
Oh, I love Chicago. Love Chicago. Can't wait to go back.
Was there for the first time last year. Great, great city. And everyone knows we're Boston based. Chicago greater than Boston. Just saying.
I like Chicago. Yeah. I wouldn't move there, but I enjoy visiting there.
Yeah, I love it better than Boston. But yeah.
So All Elite Wrestling has their Double or Nothing pay per view coming to us live from Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Main event is AEW's Men's World Championship. It's Adam Hangman Page against CM Punk. Mm. Mike, if this match were in Chicago, I would pick CM Punk all the way. But since it's in Las Vegas, I'm picking Adam Page to win it.
You picked Adam Page a couple of weeks ago, too.
And I'm sticking with it because it's in Vegas. It's not in Chicago.
Hmm.
And I think Adam Page is the homegrown talent. I think Adam Page is the guy that they want when we look back on his run on paper. It looks amazing. Now, the actual execution of it, I think there's some debate points there. But Kenny Omega, Danielson, Lance Archer in a match we're supposed to forget, Adam Cole, and CM Punk, it's a hell of a resume.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a win-loss record in championship defenses. And because Adam Page is the AEW guy, he's their homegrown guy. He was in the first championship match and he lost to Jericho. But he's the guy that they want to build the company around long term. I think CM Punk is, to quote Taz from years ago in ECW, I think CM Punk is just another victim.
Hmm. Yeah, and you know what? This is where, prior to the impending return of Omega as well, I think that's the ultimate setup to get Hangman and Kenny Omega to go face-to-face. And you got to have Hangman as the champion. And if the Omega was not going to return anytime soon, that's where I would jump on CM Punk here. So that's why I was a little conflicted on this one. But I got to say Hangman probably will retain. And to your point with Chicago, absolutely, place would explode. But, you know, you look at it where, the whole buildup and Hangman not really being on TV a lot than he should, I guess you could say. Or
he had COVID. he had COVID, so he missed the TV, or two because of COVID. I think he missed at least one.
Okay.
Because of then- COVID. But, Mike, I think to your point, the story behind here seems a little weird.
It's bizarre.
Because there's one week CM Punk's getting booed because it's Long Island. The week before, Paige is trying to get boos.
Yes. And who was the heel there? Who I couldn't figure that out.
That's the story. That's the issue here is we're not invested in the story. It's just right. It's almost like, hey, it's just CM Punk's turn.
Yeah.
So we're just going to do CM Punk versus Adam Page.
Right. But, you know, and I think that's where if you have Adam Page retain, you could get them back together in Chicago. I could see that where Punk will take the strap off him there because that's a year for his debut in AEW and right there. But, yeah, the Vegas thing, that's a big factor. And you know what? Even if Hangman does retain, CM Punk is still not in the worst spot. It's still a really good position, no matter even if he does lose. So it's not the worst thing in the world for the best in the world. So he'll be right back in there. Chicago is a big deal for him to win the title right there.
What's fascinating to me is the Paige Punk story with the lack of a story. The Paige Punk match with the lack of a story. Mm-hmm. Like Thunder Rosa versus Serena Deeb. Great backstory.
Yep.
They had a tremendous opening match a few years ago on pay-per-view for the NWA women's title.
Yep.
But that's actually got a better story than the men's world title match, but fewer people care.
No one cares.
I wouldn't say nobody cares. I would say fewer people care.
Yeah,
right?
Sorry. I didn't mean it's yeah.
You know, and you just kind of go through the rest of this card.
That's gonna be a good match though.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a great match because they both know, like, Serena Deeb is one of the best female wrestlers in the last however many years, but her work isn't as prominent, I don't think. Like, she's in the – and I think she was trained by Dean Malenko.
Okay.
So when you've got Stinko Malenko as a trainer, like, that's – big praise, and she's lived up to it because Dean Malenko is one of the all-time greats who doesn't get enough credit for being one of the all-time great, like, just pure bell-to-bell wrestlers because, I mean, his personality on camera was definitely lacking.
Kind of dull,
You know, the biggest pop I think he ever got was when he took off the mask in Worcester at Slamboree and he from being Ciclope after winning a Cruiserweight Battle Royal to take on Chris Jericho for the title and then winning the title. One of my favorite moments from
97.
Yep. Slamboree 97.
Yeah. Nice. You know,
Jericho doing the rundown of all the cruiserweights walking in the Battle Royals. One of my favorite Jericho moments of all time.
Yeah.
But like the Hardys and the Young Bucks have a great story.
So I'm excited for that match. I am very excited. And I know they fought before.
Yep.
But, you know, this is, I think, the biggest platform.
100%.
Right? And that's just huge for both of these guys, right? Both the tag teams. The Young Bucks, what they've accomplished over, they're an AEW original, and we're coming up on the 3-year anniversary next week of AEW's advent. And, you know, here it is right here. Hardys with their reunion. We know what they've done. This is a great setup here. And I mean, oh man, definitely Hardys are among the greatest tag teams of all time. Young Bucks can etch their way into that category right here too.
I think at the time, the Hardys and the Young Bucks were the biggest gate in Ring of Honor history when they did the Lakeland, Florida show.
Oh.
And of course, the Hardys came out the next night at WrestleMania and won the tag team titles, the WWE tag team titles.
Yep.
But I think at the time that Lakeland, Florida show for Ring of Honor was the biggest gate and attendance in their company's history.
Yep.
Obviously, Madison Square Garden trumped that 2 years later, 3 years later.
2019, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Hardys and the Young Bucks, Mike, that's the match that I'm most looking forward to, as I think you are.
I think the Hardys will win that one, too.
So I don't.
Really? So, okay. I think
the Young Bucks are going to win.
Nah, I think they're going to get I think they're going to say, no, we're the OGs. We're the guy. No, I think you're going to see the Matt and Nick get a little too over their head. And I don't know. I think it's going to cost them some little mistake, and that's going to be it. And the Hardys will prevail. They got them.
Going to be a good match. Know, like, trust me, Hardy Boy Honk here.
Oh, I know.
Love to see them win.
Yep.
But I think it's the Young Bucks who are going to win. Yeah. I do believe this. Like, there's going to be a hell of a backstage fight from the other one wanting to put the other one over.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know?
If I want to say, Mike, I think the Hardys are going to win this one because Tony Khan wants to make the Hardys the AEW Tag Team Champions at some point.
And that should be
a good stepping point. I agree.
Yeah, and they should be. 100%. Yeah. Obviously the Young Bucks here, what they've been able to do in their career, they are trying to etch their way into the greatest AEW tag team of all time. And it could happen.
And the Hardy Boys can continue the claim of being the greatest tag team in time and space, which I think was a broken Matt Hardy thing from a few years ago.
Right. Yep.
I'd love to give you a thought on the Owen Hart Foundation tournament, but we don't have the finals for the matches yet.
We don't have the finals.
So as we're recording this, it's Adam Cole versus either Samoa Joe or Kyle O'Reilly. Yep. And the women's matches, it's down to Britt Baker, Toni Storm, Ruby Soho, and Chris Statlander. My guess would be that Adam Cole wins on the men's side.
Yep.
My guess would be Britt Baker wins on the women's side.
Okay, so I was going to say Statlander, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's Britt Baker to get back into that that women's top of the division there, to where she was a champion for such a long time, carried the title for.
She was the face of the women's division. She's the face of women's wrestling.
By the way,
Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
Yes. Yeah. So
we didn't properly do the.
No, it was, but. I have no objection to either if it's going to be Adam Cole. I think that is the call. Adam Cole would be perfect for this one here. And by the way, this is the eve of the 23-year anniversary when Owen Hart passed away.
Yeah, and I think if you wanted to listen to a podcast about Owen Hart, it's probably the Jeff Jarrett one from about a year ago.
Very powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Very powerful. He was with him when he died.
Yep.
So
that if you're looking for more Owen Hart content, I would say go to the Jeff Jarrett My World podcast from about a year ago.
Yep.
Definitely worth your time. Yep. The best story, though, I think going into the AEW pay-per-view is Wardlow versus MJF.
No doubt. No doubt. And they've set this up for a while now for the breakup here. Wardlow took his lashes. Didn't sell it, by the way. Didn't sell.
Which I thought was great.
Oh my gosh, this guy is just I can't see MJF winning because
I disagree.
No, I think it's all Wardlow because if he's not going to sell and you're going to put the heat on MJF, you got to have someone go, you got to have the crowd be a little happy on this one because MJF is that hateable guy and Wardlow, your former tag team partner, your former bodyguard, whatever. Associate there, done. He's got to be the guy to take down MJF, and I think he wins.
So I think MJF wins.
Really?
Because I think MJF is Adam Page's next challenger.
Mm.
If it's not Okada at Forbidden Door.
Forbidden Door, it's 28 days out, but you can get away with another Wardlow MJF match in a month.
You could, but if we're doing cross branding for the New Japan AEW show Forbidden Door, then maybe it's Okada versus Page title for title. And this is a longer play that I kind of detailed with Justin last week, is that you can have Adam Page lose to Okada, whether it's title for title or non-title. But if it's title for title, Okada as the AEW champion is a cool thing. And then you bring back Kenny Omega then. Oof. And you get Okada Omega in an AEW ring, right?
That'd be awesome.
But if you're not doing Okada as your next AEW champion, Adam Page needs a new challenger after Punk. MJF kind of makes a lot of sense. And it would be time for MJF to get the belt.
Or on the flip, so in my situation, you have Wardlow winning the match here against MJF. Does he get the push to go after Hangman?
Certainly possible. I think Wardlow's a little on the younger side, so yeah, maybe not yet. But I think MJF is due for another world title match.
Hmm.
So whether it's Punk or whether it's Adam Page, I think he would be up next in line. If it's Punk who wins, it just makes all the sense in the world because MJF can be like, yeah, I beat you twice in Chicago.
And then there's that little what is that other stipulation? If Wardlow loses, he can't be a part of another contract, right? Isn't that true?
Google.
I think that's what
AEW double or nothing. Let's see what Wikipedia says about the stipulation, because I missed that one.
I thought that's what my notes here, I thought I wrote that down from a show a couple of weeks ago.
I may have missed that one.
Okay, so that's another reason why I'm going for Wardlow on that one. So if he loses, he can never sign an AEW contract. And they've, you know, Khan and AEW, they love this guy.
All right. Must agree to receive 10 lashes. Wardlow must face Sean Spears in a steel cage match with MJF as special referee. That's this Wednesday on Dynamite. Yeah. If Wardlow loses at double or nothing, he can never sign an AEW contract.
There you go. Boom.
Wardlow agreed to the stipulation, signed the contract, then security attack. Da, 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 da.
Wardlow took his lashes. He's going to lose to Sean Spears, but he beats MJF. And that's the most important one of the bunch right here.
I hate the fact that you alerted me to that stipulation, but they can get Wardlow. They can get Wardlow back into the company. Like, that's
no. I mean, look at what Cody Rhodes. We had that over his head for a while too, that he would never have that championship match again. Sure, yeah, as hell, it didn't matter in the end because he's out of the company now. But you can do so much with that. We know all about that.
My apologies, I missed that one.
Oh,
the other match that I'm kind of looking forward to on this pay per view is the Anarchy in the Arena.
That'll be interesting.
Which is the Sports Entertainment Jericho Appreciation Society against the Blackpool Combat Club, which is easily my favorite group in wrestling right now.
Yeah.
With Danielson and Moxley, with Regal and Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. Like, what a group. And if they add Claudio Castagnoli, the former artist known as Cesaro, like, just make that group like next level.
Yeah.
But like, it's pure violence.
Oh yeah.
Against, the Wizard, Chris Jericho, and his Sports Entertainment nonsense. Yep. And don't know who wins, which I kind of like.
I think you're going to see a lot of, bumps and bruises and blood in this one. And I'm going to say Eddie Kingston, Danielson, Moxley, Santana, Ortiz. They're the winners.
It wouldn't surprise me if Kingston gets another win on Jericho. Because Jericho might be trying to just make Eddie Kingston.
And Jericho has put people over continuously here in AEW. And that's his project, it seems like, here with Eddie Kingston. It's worked so well. So keep it going.
I think the last thing on my agenda, Mike, is Ric Flair is returning to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Conrad Thompson production. StarCast 5 is coming to Nashville. It is SummerSlam weekend. It is Ric Flair's last match as promoted by Jim Crockett Promotions. The first two rows are sold out.
Wow.
It's going to be at the Nashville Fairgrounds. It's the Sunday after SummerSlam. SummerSlam is a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Ric Flair's last match. Opponent to be determined. Ricky Steamboat supposedly turned it down. It's not going to be Ric Flair in a one-on-one match.
I think it's going to
be Ric Flair in some sort of six-person, six-man tag. Yeah. Probably FTR will be involved. Mm-hmm. I think they'll make it they'll make it worthwhile. But the StarCast thing, like, I would go to Nashville because StarCast was great when I did in Chicago in 2019. Yep. But the Horsemen together for one last time, Ric Flair's last match, the opponent doesn't matter. No. Because I would go and I would just want to woo and see him chop and do the flip and hit the big move off the top rope, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Ric Flair has been medically cleared for it. Ric Flair has been training with Jay Lethal. And when I saw the initial social media post, he was training with Jay Lethal. One is Jay Lethal is a perfect opponent potentially for Flair.
Mm-hmm.
But it just meant that Ric Flair at 73 years old was going to do this.
Yep.
And I think it's cool. I think it's great.
It's the mortgage guy from Alabama strikes again. You know, and here it is, the day after SummerSlam. So like you said, it's probably going to be the six-man tag. And absolutely, Flair's going to need that there. Let a lot of the other guys do the work. But just the fact that he's the greatest of all time. He's the greatest of all time, Ric Flair. I think a lot of wrestlers say
a lot of people think that. A lot of people think Ric Flair's the greatest of all time.
He's on the Mount Rushmore, all right? If you want to go down that route, go ahead. It's all opinion based. Yeah, I know Felger loves that. But I think with Ric Flair there, the fact that you have him in the ring at the age of 73 is amazing.
Yep.
But yes, it's got to be a multiple individual match. It cannot be a one-on-one. That would be a disaster. But good for Conrad to do that there. First two rows are sold out. And if you are going, you're in for a nostalgia sort of day. And I think take advantage of it. Embrace every minute because Flair's had some health issues the last couple of years.
Yep.
You know, and just whatever you can get out of the veterans like that, enjoy every second. You just don't know.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I think it'd be great. I hope to be able to make it, although I don't think I'm going to be able to get to Nashville. But I would go. I would absolutely go.
Yeah. Going to be hot.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I wouldn't go. So, like, I mean, I hid in the air conditioning for most of the last 2 days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But Ric Flair, I'm glad to see Ric Flair get one final match.
Yeah.
So that's kind of exciting to me. Mike, is there anything else on your wrestling agenda for the week?
Just again, want to direct people again to the archives. You had a really, from what I saw, the interview with Paul Heyman, I did not listen to it yet. I was traveling for most of the week and this weekend as well with a couple of engagements. But good work by you getting the advocate for the tribal chief, Roman Reigns. I look forward to listening to that, and please do take a listen to it. Jimmy always does a nice job with one-on-ones he's able to score. So check it out.
Mike, I think you'll laugh at the interview. I think you'll have a good laugh at the interview.
All right. It was full character.
And if there'll be a moment where you know that I crapped my pants, like on a live podcast, on a live-to-tape podcast.
Okay. All right. Do you want me to? I will tell you the moment where I think it is. How's that for you?
You will text it to me as soon as it happens. And you'll tell me exactly the moment that it happened.
Okay. All right.
Good it's stuff. Funny. And the behind the music story is WWE PR actually called me after the fact and was like, we're good, right? Like, there's no, like, it was just Heyman being Heyman and all that stuff. And I go, yeah, right. We're good. We're fine. But yeah.
Nice. Good.
It was a little nerve-wracking. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.